I want to make a statement at the very front of the message. God wants all people to be saved. I really believe that, don't you? He's not choosing who should and who shouldn't. God wants all people to be saved. But that's not all. Notice the screen, please. He desires each one of us to learn to walk in close relationship with Him. You know, it's one thing to get people saved. It's another thing to teach them how to walk in close relationship with God. We need to understand that after you and I come to Christ, we're different. When you and I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're different. We should no longer live greedy. We should no longer live immoral. We should no longer live self-centered lives. We should be different. Instead, we ought to be seeking to understand and follow the Lord's will. The Father's overall plan for the world is actually revealed right here in Scripture, in the Bible. God's plan for the world, God's plan for all of our lives is all written right here in the Word of God. His Word gives us principles that govern how we should live. But how can we know His specific plans for us? Well, I think this is the only way I can. I must be listening to God. Listening to God is essential, I believe, to walking with God. One of the things I think is a real trouble in our society is we're not walking with God because we're not listening to God. If I'm going to walk with God, I've got to be able to listen to God. In order to know the Father's will for our lives, we must learn to hear His voice. How can I ever know the will of God for my life if I do not hear His voice? I've got some scriptural principles I want to give to you today. It won't take me long. Although I have 7 points, it sounds like a Brother Mott message, but it's not. It's 7 points, but they'll be quick, Mrs. Mott. You can tell him I did a good job. There are two types. Number one, there are two types of listeners. When it comes to hearing spiritual truth, everyone is either a purposeful listener or a passive listener. Now, what is the difference between what you're doing this morning? You're either going to be a purposeful listener or a passive listener. Now, what's the difference? Well, let me give you that. A purposeful listener attends church each week. But that person expects the Lord to do something new in their lives every week. That's a purposeful listener. They attend church every week. They come to the house of God every service. But they're expecting God to do something in and through their lives every single week. But then there are the passive listeners. By the way, the purposeful listeners not only expect the Lord to do something new in their lives every week, but they also put into practice what they learn. They are a purposeful listener. I'm going to put into practice what I'm learning from the man of God in the pulpit. But now this other listener is called a passive listener. They may enjoy a sermon. They may even come to church on a regular basis too, but they have no intention at all of applying what was taught. Although their church attendance might be part of their lives, they fail to grow spiritually. Boy, there's so many in our generation that are passive listeners. They come to church, they enjoy the fellowship, they enjoy the camaraderie, but they never, ever, ever plan to change anything in their life. They're just coming because it's right to come. But they're passive listeners. Now, James chapter 1, go right back there, please, if you will. Verse 22 through 25 talks about that. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If you will learn to listen to the Lord and obey his voice, you will find an inexhaustible source of confidence. You'll find an inexhaustible source of courage. You'll find an inexhaustible source of strength. I believe in joy like you've never had. But you've got to understand, I've got to learn how to listen to God and obey his voice. And then I'll find these inexhaustible things happening in my life. I'll find confidence. I'll find courage. I'll find strength. I'll find joy. Roman numeral 2. I've already given you Roman numeral 1. We're going to 7. But Roman numeral 2, what's involved? What is involved, ladies and gentlemen, in walking with God? Go with me to Psalm 1, would you please? Psalm 1. Let me just read for you what it says in Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What's involved in walking with the Lord? The Christian life is all about discovering and obeying the Father's will. It's not about getting everything you want in life. It's not about getting all the prizes in life. Like some people on the radio or TV maybe say to you, if you give here, God will bless you with all sorts of blessings. Well, that's wonderful, but honestly, what the Christian life is really all about is about discovering and obeying the Father's will for my life. You need to find the Father's will for your life. Find it out, discover it, and then begin to live that life that God wants you to live. You got to begin by having faith. This life doesn't begin without having faith, believing that God exists. You've got to believe that God exists and that you have begun a new life in Christ. When you get saved, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God, and I've just begun a new life in God. My new life has started. Now, as I enjoy that life, I enjoy a continual fellowship with the Lord, and I live in his presence every single day. And as you walk in truth, as you walk in truth, now listen to me closely, you will obey cheerfully the word of God. As I walk in truth, I find myself obeying cheerfully the things of God and the truth of God that God teaches me from his word. I obey him cheerfully. I walk with him cheerfully. My relationship with him, my relationship grows more every day. In fact, every day I become more intimate with him. I'm learning how to walk with my God. As I walk in truth, I obey cheerfully. My relationship begins to grow more intimate. The Holy Spirit then becomes a provider for me of such things like peace, confidence, security, joy. I'm walking with my Lord. He'll help me to know how to live a way that pleases God. It separates me from sin, but I become an impact with others in my life, but I find myself enjoying God. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise a hand. Don't shake a head. But do you really enjoy God? Do you enjoy being with God? Do you enjoy the fellowship of God? Are you this purposeful listener who listens and I'm going to take from what I hear and I'm going to try to grow closer to God? You see, when I draw closer to God, I learn how to live a way that pleases God. I find myself separating from sin. There's something wrong with our folks when they continually dabble in sin. There's something not right, ladies and gentlemen. We're not walking with God every day. We need to learn how to walk with God and enjoy God. And then we find ourselves enjoying separating from sin, but making an impact in the lives of hurting people. I want to help hurting people. The Christian life is a marvelous journey. It's not old doldrum and that sort of. It's a wonderful experience to be a Christian. It's a wonderful life to live. I should have to remind you that. You ought to just be saying amen anyway. It is a wonderful life. Amen. It's a joyous life. The Christian life is a marvelous journey. By the way, what a gift the Father has given to us. What a gift. Roman numeral 3. The Bible teaches us to listen intently. I'm going to show you some verses of Scripture. If you can't turn quickly enough, they'll be on the screens. But do you realize that God's Word talks a lot about listening? God's Word talks a lot about listening. In fact, go with me to Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5. Because there, the Father told Peter, James, and John to listen to his Son. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Talking about listening. What about in Mark chapter 4, verse number 3? Christ began the parable of the sower by saying, "Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow." Hearken means listen, listen, hearken. Listen. God wants you to listen. Jesus warned everyone to pay attention and apply his teaching to their lives. In Mark chapter 7, verse 14, to the crowd, our Lord said, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them," again, hearken or listen, "hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." Listen, he said. Now, even Christ made that statement. Hearken or listen and understand. You know, when I remind you, listen, listen, when I remind you, listen, God's trying to tell us something. I'm trying to get your attention because I'm merely echoing what Jesus said. Hearken, listen unto me. Why? Because it's important to listen to God and to walk with God. In our generation, you know as well as I do, people aren't listening because we're too busy and we're too tired and our minds are just full of all kinds of stuff. And we have been on the internet and been on our phones and our Blackberries and on it goes. We're just so busy. Our minds are always wrapped up. And when we finally get to come to church and sit for an hour, I know how it is. I get tired too. We relax all of a sudden in a comfortable position. Somebody said, "Preacher, I hope you didn't see me sleeping the other day. I didn't mean to." No, I understand. I mean, I want you to have rest. But I do want you to listen. You know why? Because I do want you to grow. Come on, amen. It's okay to relax a little bit, but come on, pay attention, listen, and grow in God. That's important. Roman numeral number 4, God has spoken through history. You know, all through the Word of God, he's talking to us about listening. And number 4 is God has spoken throughout history. The Lord's Word, number 4 up there, fellas, not number 5, number 4. The Lord has words that are recorded in the book of Genesis, for example. God told Adam and Eve to avoid eating that certain tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember how he talked to Noah? He told Noah to build an ark to preserve the family from death. The Lord asked Abraham to leave the country and travel to an unknown land. In the book of Acts, it tells a story of the Lord appearing to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And God spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos. Over and over again, God spoke, but ladies and gentlemen, folks had to listen. On the Isle of Patmos, there John heard the word, and the apostle saw and heard, and what he saw and what he heard, he recorded in a book called the Book of Revelation. But he had to listen. God, give us good listening skills. In church history, Reformation came because God spoke to Martin Luther while studying Galatians. There's a powerful verse of Scripture. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And this is the verse that Martin Luther looked at. While studying Galatians, Luther realized that salvation was not by good deeds, but by grace. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, do you see it? But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He realized that scripture, and it changed all of history. Actually, that revelation transformed Christianity. Now, most believers acknowledge that any child of God, not just religious leaders, but anybody can enter into the very presence of God yourself. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a preacher. You don't have to go through a church. Ladies and gentlemen, you can enter into the presence of God yourself. You can touch the throne room of God. You can talk to the Savior yourself. What a wonderful privilege. It's not by works. It's not by good deeds. It's by grace. Grace. Listening to God and walking with God. Roman numeral number 5. What happens when we fail to listen? What happens if you and I don't learn to hear God's voice? And that's what scares me more than anything else in our whole society, is we're listening to so many voices, we don't even know which voice is God's. What happens? What happens, ladies and gentlemen, when we fail to listen? I contend this, if you and I don't learn to hear God's voice, we might listen to someone else. I contend this morning that if you and I do not learn how to walk with God and listen to God, we just may listen to someone else. And I'll be honest with you, that's what's happening all across America. And that's why there's so many folks who are anti-God, anti-church, and our children are in such a mess. Did you hear the report this week? Did you hear that report? Now, our little kids are pretty much out of the building this morning. But did you hear that news report that I sat and listened to? How that it is becoming alarming in America that 2- and 3-year-old children are using the F-bomb. It was right on public television, on a news broadcast. How that little, now that's not funny, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, something is radically wrong in America when 2- and 3-year-old children, and that's exactly what they said, are using the F-bomb every single day. Something's awry in this country. If that doesn't alarm you, it really alarms me. We're bringing little bus kids to church and Sunday school and to children's church who have no training at all. It behooves this church to have training. It behooves us to stand on the Word of God. Our society is so taken up with sports and so taken up with all kinds of activities. They always plan all these activities. Have you noticed how the world is planning all the activities to take your family out of church? I think that's not necessarily just the local sports teams. I believe there's somebody behind all that stuff. My wife will go out after some bus kids, and all of a sudden, bus kids can't come because they're all going to go to this big concert or this big game or this big something. It's horrendous. And sometimes we look at that and we think, well, it's just innocent stuff. Well, it's an ultimate plan. And I'm telling you, when the national news media says there's something wrong in our society, when these children are talking the way they are, and the proof of the matter was it came right back to mom and dad. Something's happening with mom and dad. I'll guarantee you, that Joel sitting here and Aaron sitting there, if they as a little boy would ever say anything like that, or anything close to something like that, that mother over here, Nora Petrie, would probably have been in trouble with the law. Am I right, Nora? They probably would have had not only a slap, but maybe a taste of soap. My wife's folks used to wash their mouth out with soap. How many of you ever had your mouth washed with soap? Oh, boy, some other folks here. Even some young folks have had that done. You know what? It didn't kill you, did it? But it sure gave you a distaste for Ivory soap, didn't it? Boy, if we could get back to what America used to be. Come on, aren't you saying amen to that? Can't you? Wouldn't it be wonderful to get back to what America used to be? When we could listen to the voice of God. When church was important and we'd go to church and hear the voice of God. When we'd go and hear gospel preaching and gospel, and we would enjoy it. Today it's so sad, isn't it? What happens if we fail to listen? Well, we'll listen to other voices, maybe news articles or television shows, or the advice of others have the potential to influence us. Without being grounded in Scripture, Christians are prone to deception and could easily drift off into sin. And that's exactly what's happening. We stop listening to the voice of God because all of a sudden, church isn't all that important. Activities are more important. Fun's more important. And God's left out. Now, I believe everybody ought to have vacation. I don't think anything's wrong with that. But ladies and gentlemen, week after week after week after week after week after week after week missing church is not wholesome for anybody. The old devil's smart with that business. You'll start believing some other things. We're prone to deception. We're prone to making excuses. We'll give an excuse for rebelling against God. And then we'll give excuses for rejecting parts of God's word that condemn my choices. I'll start actually rejecting God's word and rebelling and rejecting parts of the Bible that condemn my choices. That follows my life. People who used to be so strong in the Bible today are now saying, well, I reject that now because it actually condemns their choices. So now they'll condemn or reject the Bible. Oh, yeah, I don't believe that anymore. I used to, but I don't believe that anymore. That's what happens. When we fail to listen, eventually, if we don't listen to God, our unwise decisions will prove disastrous to ourselves and to those people around us. Number six, how do you listen to the Father? Take a few notes here. They're not on the screen. They won't be on the screen, but how do you listen? First of all, read the Bible. How do you listen to the Father? How do you listen to the Father? First of all, you got to read the Bible. Now, there are churches everywhere who tell you don't have to read the Bible. They'll tell you what to believe. I don't tell you that. I tell you, you need to read the Bible. Because what the Bible says is what we ought to be teaching anyway. And if it's not in the Bible, we probably ought not teach it. If it's in the Bible, we ought to teach it. If it's not, we should not. Now, so we ought to read the Bible. God will never tell you something. I believe this with all of my heart. God will never tell me anything that contradicts this. People say to me all the time, well, God told me not to go to church. I said, God never told you that. God never told you. He said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves in the house of the Lord, as a matter of some is. Now, if God says that in his book, then he didn't tell you not to go to church. No, I'm sorry. Be careful. Read the Bible. It will never contradict itself. Secondly, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. One of his jobs is to guide you by speaking to your spirit. How many of you know what it's like for God to speak to your spirit? Have you ever had that happening? You kind of know what that's about. God speaks to your spirit. The Holy Spirit does that. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Third, pray. So I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray. Prayer is talking and listening to God. Read a little portion of Scripture every day and ask God to talk you through it. Fourth, look for him to reveal himself to you through circumstances. Every day I look for God to reveal himself to me through circumstances. I look for those things. How's God going to speak to me? Through circumstances. When life takes you by surprise, and sometimes life is going to take you by surprise, you're going to have to ask God, God, what are you doing? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been taken by surprise? Now, didn't surprise God, but you were surprised, and you said, dear God, what's going on? I'm taken by surprise here. What's happening? Watch for God to guide you through open and closed doors. Fifthly, expect him to direct you through other people. Expect him to direct you through other people. He will use pastors. He'll use parents, friends, family members, and even strangers sometimes. Just be careful when you expect him to work through other people. Just be careful to evaluate everything you hear in the light of Scripture. But God will, and I listen to my people during the day when they talk to me. I listen to somebody who says, preacher, I've got to say something to you. I listen. I try my best to understand. Because sometimes I know God directs me through other people. Not just my staff, but maybe other people. Maybe somebody I went to see on visitation or soul winning. And maybe they're going to say something to me. And it's going to speak to me. And so I listen. I'm always open. God, I want to follow you. I'm listening. Number seven, and I'll be finished now. How should we then listen to God? Number seven, how should we listen to God? How should we listen to God? Number one, I think we ought to listen reflectively. The word is written down, please, reflectively. Meditate on biblical passages. Thoughtfully read them over and over again. When things happen in my life that I don't understand, I like sitting up at night by myself, getting the Bible in my hand and saying, God, you got to talk to me because I don't know what's happening. And I begin to read some promises or some psalms or whatever and say, God, you got to speak to me. I don't understand. And I'll be honest with you, when I'm going through a trial or heartache, the best thing for me to do is to read the book. It helps me more than anything else is just to read the book. Reflectively. Number two, prayerfully. How should we listen to God? Prayerfully. As you read God's word, ask God to help you apply what you're reading. Now, we're talking about listening to God and walking with God. These areas of life are so foreign to so many people. We don't take any time to listen and we're not walking. Ladies and gentlemen, I want our church to listen to God. Not just hear all the noise, but listen to God and walk with God. That's what's important. Submissively, number three. Submissively. Be willing to obey whatever he tells you to do. Be willing to obey whatever he tells me to do. And then next, expectantly. The next word is expectantly. God promises to speak to us. Anticipate that he's going to meet with you personally. God promises to meet with you. Expect that God's going to meet with you. When I'm studying or needing something from God, I expect God to speak to me. He's my Father. He loves me. He's not trying to put me in a box or in a corner where he doesn't want to talk to me. He wants to talk with me. Listen, he wants to talk with you. He's your God. He's your Father. Expectantly. And then patiently. The last word is patiently. How should we listen to God? Can somebody help me? Number one, how should we listen to God? Reflectively. Number two, prayerfully. Number three, submissively. Number four, expectantly. And number five, patiently. It's based on important decisions. I never try to rush God. Now, I know when we're sick, we try to rush him because I want to feel better. But when it's something else and it's really important, it might take 3, 4, 5 weeks, 6 months. It might take a year. Wait patiently. You're listening to God and walking with God. Now, my friend, I'm about finished this morning with this message. I believe with all of my heart that God will direct your life if you're willing to listen submissively. When things are falling apart and there's lots of stuff going on, there's nothing more reassuring than hearing him say, "My child, nothing takes me by surprise." Now, you may have been surprised, but God says, and there's nothing more reassuring, nothing has taken me by surprise. I'm going to guide you through this, and my strength will be there to strengthen you for all the challenges that lay ahead. Nothing in this world can compare to hearing the voice of God. Nothing. The sovereign God of the universe holds all power. He has the resources to every need you have. Don't you want to walk closely with that kind of a person? If he has all the resources that we ever need, don't you this morning want to walk closely to that person? Listening to God and walking with God. You can walk with him by simply being willing to listen to him. Ladies are coming. Has he been speaking to you this morning? And are you listening right now? And would you step from your seat and say, "You know, preacher, God has been talking to me about an issue in my life. And I've been listening. And I'm going to come this morning and do some business with God because I know I need to. I need to listen to him." Listening to God and walking with God. Two types of listeners. Purposeful listeners, passive listeners. What's involved in walking with God? Discovering and obeying the Father's will. The Bible tells us to listen intently. But remember what happens when we fail to listen? We could listen to other voices that would take us away from Almighty God. Are you listening? The quietness of this service, are we listening to God? Fact of the matter is, the only thing that's going to count someday is that we have listened, and that we have responded, and that we are walking with him. All the noise put aside, all the talking put aside, are we listening now? Let's stand together, please, and just for a moment, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just listen for a moment.